Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. With so much focus on mental health and self-help these days, it's often hard to know where to turn. There are therapists and psychologists and life coaches everywhere. Well, how do you know who to choose? Well, on this Wellness Wednesday, we are going to figure it all out. And joining me to do that are Siobhan Odom, founder and licensed professional counselor with Arcoma Counseling Concepts, Jeff Menzi, doctor of clinical psychology, and Brashan Shaw, transformational and business life coach. We got a lot to get to tonight. If you have a comment, if you have a question, and I know you're going to have a lot of questions tonight, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thank you all for coming, and I appreciate it.
Appreciate the invite.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so let me first start with the life coach thing, because that is probably the newest of practices, I guess we could say. So, first of all, you know, Brashan, how do you become a life coach? Do you have to go to school? Is there a certification? Is there licensing? And how is that done? Because there's so many different kinds of life coaches.
You know, it's a good question, because a lot of people out there just think, sometimes you can think, oh, I could just become a life coach. Now, I went to school. I went to New York University. I went to a program, a two-year program, so I got certificates. And then I did continuing studies with different universities around, because I like to be as knowledgeable as I can to learn, to understand just psychology, to understand human behavior, to understand thought and progress and strategy. So I believe in understanding the gamut of human behavior, but I'm not a therapist, you know? So yes, I believe in going to get your credentials. So I have my credentials.
Through who?
Through NYU, New York University.
And so they have a life coach course?
A two-year course, yes. And you come out with a certificate from them.
What is the difference, Siobhan, between a life coach and a licensed professional therapist, because we have licensed professional therapists, licensed professional counselor, which is what you do. We have psychologists, we have psychotherapists, we have psychiatrists, which are, we do know that those are medical physicians. But what's the difference between what you do and what Brashan does?
Okay. So yes, I'm a licensed professional counselor in DC. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor in Maryland. I'm a board approved clinical supervisor in Maryland. And I'm also certified school counselor in the District of Columbia. The difference is that I have taken, I've studied my master's degree in counseling psychology from an accredited program, Howard University. And I studied not just human behavior, but I actually studied different theories and different counseling methodologies. I was taught how to assess and diagnose and treat mental health illnesses using the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, also known as the DSM-5. So the difference between me and a life coach is that I can also, actually my profession is also regulated by a national ethics code, a state ethics code, and federal regulations. As a licensed mental health professional, you can actually, use your health insurance to be reimbursed for your mental health, sessions, also known as psychotherapy. So actually there's, state and federal regulations for how myself as a licensed professional, are to conduct myself, and I can actually get arrested if I break those federal and state laws. And one of the biggest differences as well is that I am legally bound to confidentiality, whereas if you life coaches, they don't have a state or a federal law that actually mandates, hey, you have to protect confidentiality. My communication with my clients is also heavily regulated as well. All of the practices that I use with my clients must be research-based. So I cannot use my personal opinion as a means or a method for me to be able to provide clinical advice or clinical coping skills. So it's a very heavily regulated profession.
So Jeff, as a doctor of clinical psychology, what is your focus?
Right. So at the present, I'm an academician. You know, so I'm in academia right now teaching. And it's interesting, but my clinical training and all my clinical work was, you know, dealing with people who are diagnosed or diagnosable, you know, with mental health disorder, mental disorders. And so from that perspective, I would administer therapeutic processes, similar to what our sister is saying, LPC is saying, is that we administer processes. I did diagnosing and treatment. But what I've done in the last 6 or 7 years, I've actually crossed over into life coaching. You know, so I decided to get off the front lines as a clinician and to begin to do life coaching. And it's really interesting because what I find is a lot of people, and this is what I think, that the best life coaches are those who have actually had some psychological training, who have a psychological background, because we can identify when, say, a client comes to you for coaching and they actually need some clinical services. And so I spend a lot of time referring people out. You know, somebody may come to me after initial conversation, initial consultation. I say, hey, you should go see a clinician, and here's their contact information. Let them know that I sent you over. And so there's a world of difference between what I do as a coach and then what I used to do as a clinician. And basically, as a life coach, what I'm doing is I'm providing advice. I'm offering an objective perspective. My clients range from top executive as law firms all the way to a 15-year-old trying to get his baseball game up, you know. And so I could run the gamut on that side, but it does not deal with diagnoses. It does not deal with clinical issues at all. It doesn't deal with therapeutic processes. It's almost like being a mentor, an objective advisor, to kind of put an objective eye on whatever the question is that's on the table.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about life coaches and therapists. How do you know which one you may need when you are attempting to evaluate improvements and changes in your life? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Brashawn, now you are a transformational and business life coach. What is transformational? What is a transformational life coach? I mean, business is kind of self-explanatory.
So I help transform a client from where they are to where they want to be. I help them get to their successes, help them reach their goals, help them strategize. I help them strategize, help them reach their goals, help them get to where they want to be, which is success. So whether it's from starting out, you know, what's the goal? What is the objective? How do you want to get there? I work with them in getting there. And then we execute. I hold all of my clients accountable. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, so a business coach, I coach leaders all around the world. I work with Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 500 companies, politicians, celebrities, executives, managers, helping them reach their ultimate goal. Excellence. So when someone comes to me, it can be a leader in a corporation. It can be a manager who wants to become VP. It can be someone who wants to open a business, open hair salons, multiple hair salons. So because I started as an entrepreneur and I've gained success, I now can obviously teach and show, and I have the skill set from my knowledge. So life coaching and therapy is totally different. They're healthcare professionals. I'm not a healthcare professional. I respect both of them. So I do it on the other side. Motivated clients who want success come to me.
Do you have, Jeff, like she said, clients or patients? And I would imagine, what do you call them? Do you call them clients?
They're clients.
You call them patients?
Yeah.
Because you just said your clients run the gamut from 15-year-olds to, you know, CEOs of large or small companies, but she said the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that Brashawn made a really, really great point. You focus on mental health, just like Siobhan, correct? Mm-hmm.
When I'm functioning as a clinician, yes. But when I'm functioning as a life coach, absolutely not.
So how do you differentiate between the two?
Right.
And is that line sometimes blurred?
Oh, not for me at all, because as our sister was saying, you know, we deal with the code of ethics. And so I'm very well versed. I actually teach ethics at the university level to graduate students going on to become LPCs. And so I understand what the code of ethics are. I understand what the limitations and boundaries are. And so what I do is I stay within my lane as a life coach. And somebody might understand that my background is in psychology and they might try to slide in. But I've had keen enough eye, you know, and my ethics is up the bar. So I'm just like, nah, I got somewhere for you to go because you need clinical help. And so, again, as a life coach, I'm simply just an advisor. You know, I'm helping provide insight and an objective view on whatever the situation is the person is bringing to me. So if I have a Hollywood client, for example, which I have, you know, they're trying to figure out a script, how the best way to approach pitching the script, the best way to approach this particular audition that they have. And, you know, I have tools that I utilize to kind of look deeper into the situation, and then I advise them based on that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about life coaches and therapists. How do you know which one you may need? Let's go to Paul. Paul, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Paul. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, and
sure.
I'd like to honor all of those who take on the challenge of helping people to more or less get their self together, you know, so to speak, mentally and emotionally. I know for me, I stepped up to the plate and took on the responsibility to go see a therapist because of some life issues and challenges that I was dealing with, and I still deal with today. I found out that one of the biggest lies I can tell, the lies I tell myself. So I had to tell myself some truth about who I have become and take on the initiative to make some changes in my life so that I can have a balance when it comes to mental and emotional things that I have to deal with still today. And I've learned to more or less put those things in perspective.
How are you feeling now, Paul?
I'm feeling better about myself overall. Sometimes I still tend to beat myself up and beat myself down. Then I have to resort back to what I was taught and what I was shown by my therapist and other people I have in my circle. And to me, most of the time, it's not about a feeling. It's about separating illusion from reality. You know, so as long as I learn to stay, or as long as I learn to live and stay in reality, I'm better off.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Siobhan, in listening to what Paul was saying, your thoughts about that as it relates to your profession?
It sounds like he's utilized some really great coping skills from his therapist, and he finds therapy very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. About that, because this is about, in this particular case, mental health. Obviously, when people come to see you, they maybe having some mental health struggles, big or small. But you said something that struck me. You said that you're paraphrasing here, that your opinions are less important or not even engaged, but you are using your background to help diagnose and help people move through their issues. Do you ever insert opinions? I mean, you're human just like everybody else. Is there ever a time when that is an issue?
If someone is in life and death, yes. Then okay. I'm using my clinical opinion to pretty much assess in that way. And I'm actually kind of wanted to jump in when you're talking about how do you like pretty much tell the difference between when to use a therapist or a life coach. Another thing to also recognize is that licensed therapists work in hospitals, they work in clinics, they work in private practices, they work at social services. Those are usually not the realms in which you would see life coaches working in. If you are suffering from things like domestic violence, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, trauma, PTSD, or sexual abuse, those are issues that you would seek a licensed mental health professional for, or schizophrenia.
So basically anything, if you have any type of distress, psychological distress, anything that could lead to a diagnosis, anything that's debilitating.
I need to take a break real quick, but when we come back, I want to drill down a little further into this subject. If you have a comment, if you have a question, how do you choose a life coach, or perhaps how do you choose a mental health professional? And if you're trying to figure all of that out, give us a call, 202 319-781-0202. 319-781-0. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about life coaches, therapists, how do you know which one you need or may need or want to talk to? How do you make that decision? My guests are Siobhan Odom. She is founder and a licensed professional counselor with Acoma Counseling Concepts. Dr. Jeff Menzie, he is a doctor of clinical psychology. And Brashawn Shaw, she's a transformational and business life coach. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, you know, Brashawn, I wonder, have you ever had a client who, after speaking to them, they may come to you to talk about business, or they may come to you to talk about transforming their lives? Has there ever been a point where, after talking to someone, that you said that the help that you would provide or what they may need may be beyond you? I mean, for example, have you ever had anyone that, you know, after speaking to them, and you say, you know what, you may need to see someone about mental health issues? And how do you address that?
Well, yes, that has happened to me a couple of times, mm-hmm. because when people want to reach their goals or achieve success, a lot of times they have barriers and they're stuck from whether it's childhood trauma or things that they've gone to. And I definitely refer them out because I make it clear that I'm not a therapist, right. but I will help you reach your goals. I am one who will hold you accountable. We will strategize. We will put together a plan, and I will help you overachieve that plan and make sure you reach it. I've had hundreds of clients all over the United States, from Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, D.C., everywhere. I have clients in Europe. So I know how to help the clients reach their goal. Now, when they have mental health issues, I had someone who was dealing with schizophrenia. That's not my field. That's not my field, and I definitely refer them out.
How did you know?
Well, because when people start going, remember, everyone, we're all broken angels. We all have a story behind a story, no matter what. And why are we stuck? And why don't we achieve? Why don't we move forward? What's wrong with that? And so when you really find out the truth and people really start to talk about themselves and tell their story, that's when they really come and tell you the truth. Mm. And it gets deeper and deeper.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bobby, calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling, Bobby. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was just wondering, the one that's a coach, does he have anything set up where he can teach other people to become coaches?
That's a really interesting question. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for the question, man. But absolutely I do. I do coaching workshops where I help people to better understand what coaching actually is. And then beyond understanding what coaching actually is, then also help them to refine themselves, because the best coach is the coach that's worked on themselves. And I say the same thing about the best psychologists, best counselors, best psychiatrists. You know, if you don't do your own work, then what you're doing is you're inviting somebody else into your mess. And so I help people with their own refinement processes, help with perspective shifting, which also helps you as a life coach. Because if you have a narrow worldview, if you have a narrow perspective of reality, then you're going to miss a lot of things. You're going to be limited in what you can actually offer to your client. So, yeah, brother, I absolutely do. I do those workshops on a consistent basis. Yeah.
Can anybody be a coach?
And a lot of people, everybody think they can.
There are a lot of them.
Harold, what I say is front-facing cameras are the devil. You know, because people think they could get on there and go 60 seconds and talk all eloquently, and that makes them some type of advisor or coach. And unfortunately, people who are in need of services aren't very good at discerning. you know, the qualifications or the quality of the services that they're actually receiving. And so a lot of people get used and get pushed over mm-hmm. by so-called coaches in this world, you know, even so-called therapists. You know, not every psychologist or psychotherapist is good, competent. You know, they might be certified and licensed, but that does not mean that they're. You asked the question earlier. What should a person do, you know, when they're looking, when they're choosing a life coach or a therapist? And one of the first things I always say is you want somebody that's culturally competent. You want somebody that understands you
yes.
and where you're coming from. Because if they don't understand you and where you're coming from, they can misinterpret or misread and then misapply techniques to your person, you know, because they misread you from the jump. And it happens all the time. When I worked as a clinician in foster care, I saw a lot of children being misdiagnosed mm-hmm. and therefore mistreated. And mm-hmm. so I spent a lot of my clinical career challenging diagnoses with the appropriate tools and protocols in that DSM that you were speaking about, Siobhan. And, you know, I went in and I used those techniques and tools to help get these children on the right track. And so I made a decision. I said, let me get off these clinical front lines, man, and start helping people to navigate their lives before they get to the point of needing clinical assistance.
Yes, and the other thing, too, is to also make sure that you're doing the research on the people that you're seeking help
yes.
for.
Whether what do you mean by that?
Well, so whether somebody's a life coach or a therapist, one of the things that happens to me often is I'll get people that'll send me an email or they'll call me and say, I want to go to therapy. And I'll say, okay, so what kind of issues are you working to address on? I don't know. I just want to go to therapy. Right. And so one of the things that's important to know is that each of us have different specializations. We have different trainings. Just because I'm a licensed mental health professional doesn't mean that I am an expert in all mental health therapy. So many times I've had people call me for therapy and they haven't looked at my website. They haven't looked to see if my credentials are active. Many times you'll see some of the fake flashy therapists like Dr. Jeff was talking about. And then when you actually look them up, you'll see that their licenses has been suspended for the past two or 3 years. So it's really, really important to look up these things because it's just you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself and you're making the most informed decisions. If you had a heart issue, you would want to go to a cardiac doctor. You wouldn't want to go to an internal medicine doctor. Like, you want to make sure that you're doing your research to make sure that the person that you're contacting can actually help you. So, for example, I specialize in perinatal mental health.
Which means?
So postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, fetal demise, miscarriage, pregnancy loss, and women's issues. So many times I'll get a man that'll say, I want to come to you for anger management. Sir, are you pregnant? Have you lost a pregnancy? You clearly haven't looked at my website to see what my clinical specializations are.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of that cultural
yes.
competency, because cultural competency does not necessarily just mean, color,
right?
But the culture of postpartum issues
right.
is an issue unto itself. Bobby, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gail calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Gail. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I was just calling in because I was listening to the conversation, and I'm so glad that you guys are actually having this conversation, because you know, what I've recognized is in our community, we have such a lack of conversation around the mental health challenges and how we can get help with those. And I'm actually a certified life coach in Baltimore. And so the question is a very valid one, in how do you tell the difference between if you need a life coach or if you need a therapist. And basically, everybody that was speaking definitely had some valid points. But what I wanted to add to it is kind of simplify it for people, is that if you're looking for a therapist or a life coach, basically as a life coach, we help people move forward. So we definitely work in conjunction with some therapists. Sometimes we have clients who may be in therapy at the same time as that they're seeking a life coach. But if there becomes an issue, or there comes a time when a client is exhibiting any of the symptoms of a mental health challenge, such as depression or PTSD or any of the things that were mentioned previously, then we will refer them out to a licensed professional, whether it be a clinical psychologist or a social worker or someone like that.
So, Gail, I have a mm-hmm. question. I have a question. Yeah. You said that you're certified. You're calling from Baltimore and you're certified.
Yeah.
How did you get certified? Certified under who? Because, you know, Rashawn said that she went to NYU, New York mm-hmm. University. So where was your certification done? And this is why I ask. Because in Siobhan's case, and she was talking about being, you know, board certified and regulated by the state and the federal government, I'm still a little confused about certification for life coaches, because there does not seem, and I could be wrong, there does not seem to be any centralized regulation. And right. My concern would be, am I getting what I'm paying for?
Exactly.
And so how did you get your certification?
Yeah. So there's two parts to this. You're absolutely right. There is no overarching licensure for life coaches, so you definitely have to be careful. But they do have an organization called ICF, which is the International Coach Federation, and they are the organization in the U.S. that pretty much, I would say, kind of make sure that people are on the level as far as if they're actually certified coaching. They have very specific regulations in what a certified life coach looks like. So I personally went through Coaching and Positive Psychology Institute out of Georgia, which is Valerie Burton. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a pretty famous life coach, and she has a certification. And she's actually been given the green light to teach these classes through the International Coach Federation. And so definitely, if people want to make sure that they're going to a certified life coach, then they can check the ICF website, International Coach Federation, and they actually can direct people out as to who's certified and who's not certified, because they're the ones who actually give the green light to the programs who certify coaches,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Gail, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Go ahead, Jeff.
So even with an organization like ICF, they basically have set themselves up to be a governing body. But it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody who is not listed with ICF isn't legitimate. It's kind of like when you look at with the yoga, I think it's called Yoga Alliance, to where, you know, they have set themselves up to govern people who are teaching yoga. And so they say, if you're not, you know, so they start issuing their own certification, meaning that they've stepped up and they start issuing it. And now what they have now, they have certain organizations who have bought into their brand of certification. They say, now, if you're not Yoga Alliance certified, then you can't teach yoga here. So you can have a 90-year-old yogi straight out the hills of India, you know, who's been doing yoga since he was in the womb, right? And then comes out and comes to the States and has to get certified by Yoga Alliance, who are a bunch of folks sitting around a table who just decided to form this governing board. So I don't want the listeners to be confused and think that just because you can type a name in the ICF that these are legitimate, beneficial life coaches, because where they might be certified, as I stated earlier, they might not be worth a darn.
Mm-hmm.
And to piggyback off of you, you're exactly right. ICF is an organization, but a lot of universities will give you certification. Columbia University, NYU. I mean, just because I think what you said, Siobhan, is dead on point, right? You know what? You really have to do your research and do your homework on someone, whether it's a therapist, clinical psychologist, a life coach. You know, with social media, we have all of these people with the rah-rah, with the graphics and saying that they do this. Have you checked? Are they certified? What about referrals? Mm-hmm. Have you looked at the website? Have you seen testimonials? I give people referrals. People can go to my LinkedIn page. They can see tons of referrals, testimonials, but I will give people emails, phone numbers. I want them to stay abreast of me and knowing who I am.
But here's my question about that, because as Siobhan said, if she gives a bad diagnosis or something like that, there are penalties.
Yes.
If you give me bad advice, you know, if you tell me don't go back to that girl, for example, or whatever the issue happens to be, are there penalties, and who would determine whether or not it's bad advice?
So, good point. Coaching is really, it's not, see, I don't see it as advice. I see it as the client has everything they need. I help them move forward in a positive way to achieve their goals and success. So I'm not telling them, if they come and say, I want to start a business, and, you know, I'm just saying, I want to start a clothing store in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, I don't say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I say, okay, let's look at everything. Let's put everything down on paper. Do you have investors? Do you have money? How can we get there? Do you have a spot? Do you have a retail space? So it's not advice. What you have, I'm bringing to fruition. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not telling someone, do this or don't do that. So the whole thing about coaching is you have everything inside of you, and I'm helping you reach your potential.
I kind of wanted to jump in because Rashawn said something that also is a striking difference between licensed therapists and life coaches. One, we can't solicit testimonials from our clients. Our communication is so regulated and our confidentiality is so regulated that our clients, if they want to go and say, hey, this is a great therapist for me, then they go ahead and they do that by word of mouth. We see Spirit. She's an amazing therapist, Ricky Smiley's therapist. She's able to be in his show because he signed a very detailed informed consent to provide that to be able to be possible. The other thing is because licensed therapists have regulations, like in Maryland, I had to take a state law test on top of my licensure exam so that I wasn't just knowledgeable of federal regs and national ethics codes, but state laws, is that we are our clients are actually protected from us charging inflationary like prices, or our clients can't say like, oh, well, my therapist told me to make this purchase for this business. My therapist told me that I should maybe go ahead and be business partners with that person, because then my profession has ethics codes to protect me from being sued for those kinds of things. Whereas if I'm not knowledgeable of life coaches that have those kinds of ethics codes and laws available to protect you from those kinds of things, because while you may be moving somebody forward, I'm able to say, hey, you know what? I had somebody ask me today, you know, Siobhan, do you think I should continue to be in a relationship with somebody? And I had to say to them, like, what are the skills that you've learned thus far to help you arrive at that decision? Because I can't just say, yeah, you should go be with him, or you should break up with him.
So
because
that's one therapeutic approach. And another therapeutic approach would be, well, let's talk about your situation and your relationship, and let's try to figure this out together. So it's not totally hands off to where, as a therapist, you know, a clinician, that you just totally hands off and say, oh, I can't tell you. What do you, you know, you can actually go in with the person and have that dialogue to say, okay, should you be with this person? Let's make two columns, you know, the benefits and the costs of this relationship. And then you can list those things. You can help somebody to develop and derive a conclusion, you know, so it's not always hands off. So again, there's so many modalities, there's so many ways to approach therapy.
And
itself.
That's cognitive behavioral therapy. You just use the pros and cons, or
psychodynamic, or psychoanalysis. It's all kind of ways, or into psychotherapy, which is the African-centered approach that I'm skilled in. And so when you have all these different tools, that's what it is. As a life coach, what I've learned as a life coach, and as when I worked as a clinician, what I learned is that these are tools that you're putting in your toolbox.
Yes.
And the goal is to become as proficient and efficient and effective as possible using these various tools.
Here's my question also, and you all may be familiar with this, and this is a story that has come out of the news recently, where a woman who was posing as a licensed psychologist, she's now been charged with fraud and obtaining money through false pretenses, passing forged documents, forgery, perjury, and on and on and on and on. If you walk into a doctor's office, let us say you go into a business park, there's a doctor's office, all you have to do is just pay to rent the place, and you can print your medical degrees or your psychiatrist's certifications and license and all of that stuff. And that person can put on a white coat and they can hang a stethoscope around, or they can put books up. Yeah. And you don't know whether or not they say they are who they say they are. How do I, when I go to, I want to use you, Siobhan, how do I know before I walk into your office, where do I have to look to make sure that you are who you say you are?
Thank you for asking that question, because I research every medical professional and licensed mental health professional that's ever contacted me. So one, first things you can do is look to see if your therapist is on Psychology Today, in which you have to list your license number. I'm also on Therapy for Black Girls. These are online therapist directories. The other thing is you can also go to the Maryland Board of Professional Counselors website.
Or whatever state you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever state that you're in. And you can just pretty much, so each state, there, it's called a different thing. So, like, it could be the D.C. Board of Social Workers or the D.C. Board of Professional Counselors and Therapists or the Commonwealth of Virginia Board of Professional Counselors. And so they have a link there that says license verification. All you need is the person's last name. You just type in the last name and you can be able to see whether your medical doctor, your nurse practitioner, your psychologist, social worker, counselor, or licensed marriage family therapist has an active credential. And you can actually be able to see if they've had any behavioral infractions on their record prior to. They put all of your business on Front Street, at least in the District of Columbia in Maryland.
Yes, across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've actually had the experience years ago of working with a colleague that misrepresented their credentials. And then actually in the District of Columbia in Maryland, that's illegal to do that. So you're actually supposed to list your credentials that are appropriate for what you've been trained to practice. And if you don't have any of those things, that is, it is a crime. But I had a coworker that lied about it in the D.C. government. I mean, you could look it up today. And they were like, you said that you went to XYZ University. According to the XYZ University, you lied. You said that you went to XYZ University and graduated, blah, blah, blah. According to them, you lied. You've been charged with falsely representing your education, falsely representing a verification of your licensure hours. And so they pretty much, they charged them like a, what was it, $1,000 fee and like a year jail time.
That's amazing.
He's permanently banned.
Yeah. Has there ever been a person who's come to you, Brashawn, and you realize I can't help them?
Yes.
What is that like? When give me an example.
You know, people are stuck or they live in a false reality.
What do you mean by that?
You know, the caller before said I either deal in illusion or I deal with reality. People make up, you know. So I had a client because I have been on television. I'm a media coach too. So I'm an international motivational speaker and a transformational business life coach. So I do both in helping my clients get to where they are. So someone wanted me to help coach them to be on television and help them in the media realm. Now they lived in a false reality, thinking that they really didn't need help with it. They just wanted me to help sort of fine tune the story. But everything they were saying, they were lying. They weren't telling the truth. They lived in this false, fake reality of almost like this Barbie doll reality. But in order to be a success on television and just in any media outlet, it starts with the truth. It starts with being real. She was so real, fake and so phony, and everything was, she carried a little puppy with her all the time, and she wore this sort of cape around her. I mean, this was her reality, mm-hmm. that she was like this superwoman Barbie doll. But so I couldn't help her.
Unless, of course, she wanted to be an entertainer, which, and in this day and age of media, I take slight exception to that, because in this day and age, anyone can be a media star,
right.
And there are things that we would have thought 20 years ago may not have been possible.
You're right. It's possible.
Kim Kardashian. And that, did I say that? Did
right.
I say
no, that? I don't think I did. Echo off the wall somewhere.
You're right. You are right.
But so I've had people I couldn't help at a coaching capacity where they were just, I realized they weren't receptive. And if you've got a client that's not receptive, like somebody has come to me and said, hey, I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z. I said, okay, so you're locked in to want to do X, Y, and Z, but what if X, Y, and Z isn't the best thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at least just open your mind to, you know, to the possibility of X, Y, and Z not being the best thing, but we can approach it. But just in case it's not, well, you might want to also look at A, B, and C, because I'm quite insightful, so I can tell that X, Y, and Z wasn't the way to go. You know, but I wanted them to work it out. But after an hour and a half of conversation, you know, initial consultation, I'm like, you know what? I appreciate you, you know, knocking at my door, but I won't be able to work with you.
Mm-hmm. But as Dr. Jeff had mentioned too, like even as a licensed therapist, there are clients, I get asked that question all the time. There are clients that I definitely cannot help. I am not the therapist for them. But then there are also some people that are brave enough to recognize that, hey, they have some things they want to work on. But then once they sit on the couch, they're like, oh, no. Mm. So they may be in some kind of denial of
or afraid to be transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That happens too. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mentioned psychotherapy earlier, which is the African-centered approach. And one of the first tenets is establishing harmony with your client. So then what it does, if we establish that relationship, then you're more likely to start conversing and you know, and as you said, Rashawn, earlier, you know, talking and revealing that truth. But if you don't establish that trust, especially, you know, when it comes to dealing with Black folks, especially, you know, I teach at the graduate level over at Bowie in their counseling program. And it's like when we're talking, you know, I'm telling my students, you know, by the textbook, you're not supposed to divulge any of your own personal information. You know, so I said, well, let's do it like this. Let's role play. I'm asking you all about your business. And you ask me one question about me and I get tight-lipped and start dancing around. That's going to breach the trust. You know, the trust is going to be hard to establish in that modality. But according to Intu psychotherapy, the first thing you do is set up that harmony. It's an even exchange. And that helps us to get further faster.
Something just occurred to me because you said you're at Bowie. And as we know that at every HBCU, it's not all just Black folks.
That's right.
And so does that Afrocentric approach work for white folks?
So, yeah. So the thing about the Intu and the Afrocentric approach is that it's actually universal. Uh-huh. But it's the origins that we can trace back to are found on the African continent amongst African cultures. But, you know, Garvey said, why give up a continent for an island, speaking of Jamaicans? And it's, what I say is, why give up a universe for a continent? Because what you find is that wisdom is actually universal. So when you're establishing connection or relationship with anybody, that harmonious aspect is what's most valuable. Now, Dr. Edwin Nichols, though, he does talk about how worldview differs and how European people might value material more so than they value relationship. And so when you have a situation like that, mm-hmm. you might have to switch gears and establish harmony on how big my bank account is.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Jeff, when I went to grad school here at Howard, I was also taught in Afrocentric psychology as well. And mm-hmm. they used the Journal of Black Psychology as well. And, you know, honestly, I'll be honest with you. Some of my white clients, when I try to use some of the Afrocentric stuff, they are not feeling it.
Like, I would imagine.
They're not feeling it at all. You know, the establishing rapport part is very important because even Carl Rogers talked about that with the Rogerian technique. So it's very much in line with Afrocentric stuff. Sorry.
Forgive me about, you know, I failed the Rogerian technique class. Break it down for me real quick.
I apologize to everybody
that's
out there.
All right.
But what I do find is that my African American clients, they definitely do embrace the Afrocentric modalities that I use because a lot of times, especially when I take the time to focus on things that they may consider rites of passage or milestones.
Again, cultural competence.
Right, because when we're dealing with people of color, sometimes we have things like imposter syndrome or survivor's remorse or survivor's guilt. Whereas if my white clients are just like, oh yeah, I was supposed to go ahead and get the promotion because I worked hard for it. Whereas if my black clients might say, yeah, I got this promotion. I studied really hard. I went to a really good school, but like, I'm kind of nervous that they're going to figure out, like, maybe I didn't work this hard. And it's like, no, you worked just as hard as your white counterpart did. You earned that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
One other question, too, because I'm running out of time, and I wanted to make sure that I got this in. So, Siobhan, you take insurance, right?
Yes, I do.
What about you, Dr. Jeff?
No, I don't take insurance.
Okay. Now, what about you, Bouchain?
I do not take insurance.
Okay.
No.
or flexible spending or any of that.
Right. And so, now, I've talked to clinicians who earlier was stated that you don't find life coaches in the clinical settings, but I know some clinicians who have private practices who are beginning to incorporate life coaches within their structure. Mm-hmm. And so associating myself with an organization like that, then the insurance can be billed for the life coaching. And so it's beginning to expand. It is ever expanding, but right now I do not.
And you're absolutely right. A lot of clinicians and a lot of therapists are starting to bring life coaches in their office, because I work with one in New York City, because they do different things. And therapists in New York that I work with don't, they're not sort of action goal oriented and motivated. It's sort of dealing with the past, the history, the mental health and things like that. And then I deal with what they want to accomplish in terms of the positive moving you forward into your goals.
It's kind of like, Fortune 500 companies, for example, that employ full-time psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, to make sure that the mental health of their hard-driving employees is on point. Yeah.
But also, they employ business coaches too.
Yeah.
Fortune, right? So they do both. And that's why, and both are needed. That's why I always say they're different, but they both help.
I want to thank all of you for coming in and sharing this with us. Siobhan Odom, Dr. Jeff Menzie, and Brashan Shaw. Information about my guests will be on the WHUR.com website after 8:30, as well as the full podcast. So again, thank you all so much for coming in. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. We love it.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, July 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.